Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. I am on. There we go. Welcome to worship at St. John's this evening. A special welcome to our guests and visitors. And no matter if you are a lifetime member or a first-time visitor to St. John's, everybody is asked, please, to sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book that you find in every row of pews that helps us to serve you better. We are now in what's called the non-festival half of the church year. So for about half of the year, we focus on God's work for us, on Jesus' work of salvation for us. And then in this non-festival half, we spend time talking about our response, our God-given and God-driven response to that salvation from Jesus. And so for this week and for the next several weeks, we're going to see that God wants our undivided attention, and today we hear he wants our undivided attention on the mission that is right in front of us. To guide our worship, we will follow setting one that begins on page 154 in the front of the blue hymnal. And we'll begin with our first hymn, that 603, stanzas 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. All praise to God who reigns above. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Church and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertl will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from Luke 8, verses 26 through 39. Our worship today will be following setting one on page 154 from the Christian Worship. And we are opening now, singing from the Christian Worship, All Praise to God Who Reigns Above, hymn 603, verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5, hymn 603.
Please stand. And it looks like we are going to go old school today. So page 154 in the front of the blue hymnal, page 154. And we make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to destroy the works of the devil and protect us poor people against such an evil foe. Uphold us in all affliction by your Holy Spirit, so that we may have peace from such enemies and remain forever blessed. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our first reading from God's Word chosen for this second Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Isaiah chapter 43, verses 8 through 13. God calls upon those who have seen what he has done to be his witnesses and testify about those things right where they live. Bring out the people who are blind, though they have eyes, and the people who are deaf, though they have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let peoples be assembled. Who among them has declared this? Who has made known to us the former things? Let them produce their witnesses to show that they were right, so that people can hear and say, this is the truth. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. You are my servant, whom I have chosen, so that you may know me and believe in me, so that you will understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, and after me, there will not be another. I, yes, I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I myself declared. I brought salvation, and I announced it. It was not some strange God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Indeed, from the first day, I am he. There is no one who can deliver anyone from my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 66. We'll sing version C, and the music for that is printed in the Grace Psalter on page 328. Our second reading from God's Word is recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. This is also going to serve as the basis for the sermon today. Paul writes, "I thank God whom I serve with a clean conscience as my ancestors did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I remember your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it also lives in you. For this reason, I am reminding you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, join with me in suffering for the gospel while relying on the power of God. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, and it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Jesus sets free a man once possessed by demons and then instructs the man to go back home and be a witness to the goodness of God. They sailed down to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, a man from the town met him. He was possessed by demons for a long time, and for a long time had not worn any clothes. He did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. In fact, the unclean spirit had seized him many times. He was kept under guard, and although he was bound with chains and shackles, he would break the restraints and was driven by the demon into deserted places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had gone into him. They were begging Jesus that he would not order them to go into the abyss. A herd of many pigs was feeding there on the mountain. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. The demons went out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When those who were feeding the pigs saw what happened, they ran away and reported it in the town and in the countryside. Many people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet. He was clothed and in his right mind, and the people were afraid. Those who saw it told them how the demon-possessed man was saved. The whole crowd of people from the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were gripped with great fear. As Jesus got into the boat and started back, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and tell how much God has done for you. Then he went through the whole town proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, that's 744, Rise, Shine, You People. Grace and mercy and peace, they are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation this evening is the second reading from God's word we heard a few minutes ago, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Your friends, words matter. And we today are going to draw a needed distinction between two words as we meditate on 2 Timothy 1. Those two words are join and support. There is a marked difference between them. For example, there is a marked difference between supporting the Milwaukee Brewers and joining them. If I support them, that means I am a fan. I cheer for them. Maybe I buy tickets and go to some games. Maybe I buy their merchandise and wear a jersey or a t-shirt or something or a hat. I talk about how they're my favorite team and I give the reasons why. If I join them, that means I'm on the team. Participating, making some plays, which let it be known that there's a better chance of me winning the lottery three straight times than ever joining a professional sports team, just so that nobody asks me if I'm feeling okay afterwards. Do we see the difference between supporting and joining? Okay. 2 Timothy. the Bible book, is not just the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to young Pastor Timothy. It's actually the final Spirit-inspired letter that Paul would ever write. Because as Paul is writing this letter, he once again finds himself in prison in Rome. The first time he was in prison in Rome, it wasn't so much in prison as under house arrest, because he had appealed to Caesar and that whole business. Got shipwrecked on the way there, all that. For a while, things were going well, and Paul had some freedom, but something happened, and now Paul is no longer under house arrest. He is in a jail cell in shackles, under guard. His court hearing has not gone well. And so it looked like very soon God would bring to an end his earthly days via a martyr's death. And so one thing he was able to do in those last days was to write one last letter to Timothy, which kind of goes to show that the two of them were pretty close. How close? Well, to Paul, Timothy was his son in the faith. When they saw each other for the last time, Timothy shed tears at their departure. And the memory of that made Paul long for one more chance to see Timothy so that his heart could be filled once again with that joy of being able to see his dear friend. Ultimately, this letter is one dear missionary friend commending his fellow dear missionary friend to the Lord and to the work that the Lord had given to him. So Paul urges Timothy to continue that mission work, the work of spreading the gospel, no matter the circumstances and no matter the cost. Paul told Timothy to join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the way, quick catechism review question: what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, sinners are forgiven and have eternal salvation. Notice that Paul didn't say, support me in suffering for the gospel, as in, you know, send some help, give me a care package, something like that. No, he said, join me. In other words, Timothy was to be in the field, or to use that sports analogy, on the field. Being a missionary doesn't simply mean that one gets to sit in the stands and cheer on the team and support them with some financial help and some prayers, though those things are good. We're going to talk about them in a second. Yes, those things are good and godly. After all, especially in the letters of the New Testament, we find thanks being given to God over and over again for people who sent aid to missionaries to support their work, missionaries like Paul. Paul himself repeatedly in his letters asks people to do what? To pray for him, for the work he was doing, for the people he would reach. Supporting that mission work is necessary, and it's good and it's godly. And God works through those acts of support, those prayers, and that financial support to give missionaries the things that they need to do the work that God has called them to do. Because fact of the matter is, God doesn't call us all to be foreign missionaries traveling to foreign lands to tell people about Jesus. As a matter of fact, he doesn't make all Christians public ministers of the gospel who spend their full time and make their living from telling people about Jesus. And so those he doesn't call to such fields still do absolutely serve their Lord by supporting and helping those whom God does call to that public service. So what we do individually And as a congregation in praying for our missionaries in foreign lands and the places that we can't go, and when we give offerings, which in part go to support their work and provide for their needs, that is a good and godly thing. And yes, God does work through those things that we do to bring blessing to those missionaries in foreign lands and to the people they serve. But might we be tempted to think that such support is the extent of our responsibility as individual Christians and even as a Christian congregation? Support the missionaries. After all, being a foreign missionary in a foreign land might seem just about as absurd to you as me playing professional baseball for the Milwaukee Brewers. Right? We might be tempted to think then that our place is really just in the stands and only in the stands. That the work on the field, or in this case, yes, in the field, is for someone else, i.e., not me, to do. And might that way of thinking lead me into something else, into thinking that I can be kind of a chameleon and just blend in with the surroundings of the sinful world around me? If all I need to do is support the work of others, well then, yes, I can show up to church and I can put something in the plate and I can say a prayer or two, and then I can take off my Christian hat for the other 167 hours in the week. After all, if I'm not a missionary, it's not like people are looking to me to be an example of a repentant, faith-filled Christian life. Missionaries and ministers, they're to be the examples, not me. Those notions, dear Christians, are sorely mistaken. Fact of the matter is, God doesn't just want you sitting on your hands in the stands, wearing the team colors just when you come to church. He wants you, after you're in the stands here, to get suited up and go out into the field. He wants all of us to join the mission. Listen again to verse 5. Paul wrote, "I remember your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it also lives in you." Timothy the missionary had a sincere faith. And the word translated as sincere here, literally translated, means not hypocritical. And the word hypocrite does come from a Greek word, referring to what actors did on a stage when they were playing a part. They would take the mask and put it over their face, and that would signify, I am playing the part of somebody else. My real identity is being concealed by the outward appearance. You can't see what's on the inside, you only get to see what's on the outside. And that's how they would distinguish between which parts they were playing at which moments. Timothy had a faith that was not hypocritical. In other words, he wasn't play-acting his Christianity. He didn't say he believed one thing but then acted in a different manner. His words and actions on the outside matched up with and reflected his faith in Jesus on the inside. And sincerity of faith is what God wants. To say I believe one thing and then my words and actions demonstrate otherwise amounts to what? Deception. If I say I believe in Jesus' forgiveness of sinners, but then I myself am unwilling to forgive someone else, That is not sincerity. That's deception. If I claim to be a recipient of God's grace, but refuse to use it in treatment of others, that doesn't mean I have sincerity of faith. That means it's a deception. By God's grace, Timothy's faith was sincere. And so by the same token, if salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus is our confession of faith, then may God grant his grace so that you and I would demonstrate that God-given faith by what we do and how we do it. And this sincere faith, where did it come from? It was passed on. By whom? Was it given by God through some fancy pants foreign missionary? Nope. It was passed on from his grandmother Lois to his mother Eunice to Timothy himself. The faith Timothy had, God worked in him through the witness of his grandma and his mom. Which means they took the time and they were intentional about sharing God's great gospel promises with young Timothy. They bore witness to that faith in their words and in their actions to him. God did not demand that Lois and Eunice go to some foreign land to do mission work. He didn't even demand that they go knocking door to door. No, God had given them people in their lives, in their spheres of influence, and that included young Timothy, to whom they could witness to God's saving grace in Jesus. So you had one generation commending the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord to another generation. What did we hear in our gospel lesson? Jesus drives out that legion of demons from that man, and what did he want to do? He wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went. And who can blame him? But what did Jesus say? No, you can't come with me. You have to stay where you are in your life that you have at this time and in this place. Why? So that at this time and in this place, you can tell other people what God has done for you. We call this, dear Christians, vocation. God has given each of us unique vocations, stations in life, roles in life, a sphere of influence to souls around us. Parents, telling and showing the saving love of Jesus to their children, and those children in turn doing the same thing for theirs one day. You don't have to do, you don't even have to cross the mission or the street to do mission work. You don't even have to walk out your front door. The people in your household, that's your field. A mother singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," to her 2-year-old at bedtime. That's mission work. A father taking up his high calling of being the spiritual head of his household. And so carving out time to regularly share with them God's word in a family devotion. Moms and dads together as a married couple showing the love of Jesus to his people by demonstrating that love in their relationship so that their kids can see it and experience it. Rather than letting themselves get devolved into the petty squabbles and the selfish one-upmanship. a friend, calling up somebody struggling with sorrow to offer comfort from God's word, an ear to listen, and a shoulder to cry on. A single aunt or uncle who doesn't just show up for Johnny or Susie's soccer games, but who really shows up in the way that's most important, who encourages little Johnny and Susie with the gospel. That their niece or nephew is a dearly loved, blood-bought, redeemed child of God. A high school teen standing up for what's right at great personal expense so that she can have the chance to explain the reason for the hope that she has. Siblings who intentionally nurture a relationship of mutual support and biblical encouragement rather than the petty sibling rivalries that develop out of, you forget where they started, but boy, can they go some nasty places. A widow standing at the casket of her husband to receive sympathy from every person who walks past, but she takes the opportunity to explain to each one why she, on that occasion, still has joy and the peace that passes understanding. A young couple who insists on doing it God's way by not living together before they get married and by not sharing a bed in a world where such a thing is all but unheard of. A congregation which can not only support a foreign missionary, but a mission right down the street. Christian men who are willing and able to serve as servant leaders, getting off the sidelines and getting involved so that a school like that and a church like this can continue to best serve souls with the gospel. This is more than support. This is joining the mission. And that is what God calls upon you to do. Yes, do your supporting from the stands. But then get up and get in the field. Because this isn't just someone else's work. God hasn't put anyone else in your particular situation, in your particular life. He has put you there. The work is yours as well. So show Christ-like love with your words and actions, and share the source of that love. Jesus Christ, who gave himself to save sinners. Support the mission and then join it. Now get to work. Amen. Please stand. May the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll join together to confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. O Lord God, we thank you for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through him. We thank you that through his perfect life, his obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and pardon for all our sins. We thank you that in his resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in his ascension to the right hand of your majesty, we have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us. And so help us to believe and trust in him. Help us to love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his Spirit and bear witness of his love and salvation to those around us. Rebuke our selfishness. Subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies for others. Strengthen our hope in the cross and empty tomb. Strengthen our faith. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, that no difficulty, trial, or adversity may rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Especially we pray for the family of Miss Ellen Zank's nephew, Joshua, whom you've called to eternal glory. We ask you to be with all who grieve for Joshua and his loss. Give them strength, comfort, and peace ultimately in your empty tomb and in the resurrection to eternal life. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you, if you haven't already, please do leave that in the alms box on your way out, which is in the back. And we'll continue with our next hymn, which is hymn 746, stanzas 1 and 3, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Congregation may be seated. We'll close our worship with our final hymn, 582, Not Unto Us.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also worship the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children 4-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. Next week, June 24th through 26th, we'll be back to Jerusalem, our Children's Vacation Bible School. You can register by going on the same page, www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer this evening is Will Underwood, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
I believe there still is a sign-up sheet in the back for that if you would like to, or you can contact Cindy Allen. Her information should be in your bulletin as well. That's all for announcements. God's blessings on what remains in your week.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Next FM. 99.7. Next FM.
Time for the Lutheran Hour. Brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Jesus sends you into the world not to tell what the devil is capable of, but to proclaim what Jesus Christ has done for you.
We can worry about the devil too much or too little. It's a problem either way. Pastor Herman Novelli helps us find balance in the light of Christ's redemption today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your day. This program is listener-supported. Your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Learn more at LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Herman Novelli is our Director of Hispanic Ministry. Now with a message titled, Should I Be Worried About the Devil? Here is Pastor Novelli.
A long time ago, I heard a pastor say that there was someone in his church who blamed the devil for everything bad that happened. Someone was late to a congregation meeting? That was the devil. Something was broken in the restroom? The devil again. Someone was misbehaving in Bible study? That's Satan at work. The pastor said that sometimes he felt sorry about the poor devil who was